You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Play in Alberta, everything stays in Alberta. Revenues from Play Alberta stay in the province. You can help get the Henday built. Shagar, I read your article today, and not going to lie, at first I cringed a little bit. I'm like, are you joking? But there it was. Brad Aldridge was allowed to have a second day with the Stanley Cup 2 years after he got released from prison.
Yeah, it happened. It wasn't a second day in the traditional sense.
Yes.
Like, we know guys get their day with the cup and it's a full day. He had that back in 2010. But in 2016, the cup was in a nearby town, Marquette, for Hockeyville. And, they'll try and accommodate past cup winners in the area if they get requests. For people who have their name on the cup, the Hall of Fame will try and accommodate that for people. And so they drove it up to where he was working, a place called Hockey Glass. He posed for pictures with it, with his employees, posed it, you know, with himself, posted it on Twitter. For their part, like, we talked to the Hall of Fame, and they had a pretty clear statement. You know, they basically just said no staff member or any individual working on behalf of the Hall of Fame knew of Brad Aldrich's criminal past and transgressions in Chicago until media reports surfaced in 2021. So their employees didn't know of his history, but the truth of it was he was 2 years out of prison, he was on probation, and a registered sex offender in the state. When he was given another crack to celebrate with the Stanley Cup. I think, you know, it's as much just speaks to the just absolute gall this person had to think that he was entitled to this after everything that had happened. It just pretty unreal that he would have the nerve to reach out and think he was entitled to that. But he did, and he got it.
Well, the worst thing is it's that his company right now is one that actively, like, it looks like it's basically just a predator's breeding ground for him, because they go after young men interns to work for his company.
Yeah, so Rick Westhead had an article on this, and all of this stems from Rick's great reporting. He had an article on this a few months ago about the company that Aldrich was working for, and they use a lot of interns from local colleges. Finlandia is a college that's around there. Michigan Tech. They even had a program where they used high school students, but a representative from the high school said that at no point did any of the students work at Hockey Glass. All of the work they did with them was on the school site, and that none of them had any interactions with Aldrich. But yeah, it's definitely, as Rick reported, a company that has a steady flow of interns coming through the company. Aldrich quoted in some articles talking about the value of having these interns, and yeah, it's not a good look. So it's more layers are peeled back on this thing. It's just worse and worse. And him standing there holding the Stanley Cup up after everything he had done, after, you know, prison time, allegations out of Chicago, all of it, pretty sickening stuff to see him doing that.
Now, when you spoke to the people from the Hockey Hall of Fame,
yep.
So they didn't know anything about his criminal record?
No.
How's that possible?
Well, they didn't know anything about his until it was reported in 2021, in June 2021, when all of this other stuff came out and the allegations came out. Rick Westhead, in his reporting of all of the suit filed against the Blackhawks, you know, that's when Rick pointed out that Aldrich had been convicted and done jail time. So I guess the Hall of Fame is saying is that they didn't know about his criminal past. I mean, I don't know how much of the hockey world knew that a former video coach of the Chicago Blackhawks had been to prison. I don't know if the Blackhawks knew it or not. I would assume they did, but as we know, they weren't exactly telling everybody everything they knew, right? So I believe, and I may be wrong on this, so I'll be careful with this, but my recollection is that the NHL wasn't even aware that Aldrich had been to prison until recent reports as well. So for the Hall of Fame, it's basically a phone call comes in from a former cup winner that says, hey, I'm in the area, you guys mind running it up? My name's on the cup. They check, his name's on the cup. I mean, I don't know that they're going to run a criminal record check on everybody that asks to be with the Stanley Cup at that time. And if they weren't aware of the overall story, I mean, they just did what they've done before, which is trying to accommodate past winners. So, you know, this wasn't facilitated through the Blackhawks. It was facilitated through the Hall of Fame. And as per their statement, they didn't know what his past was and anything about the allegations. So, again, I think it's as much about just the absolute nerve this guy had to think, yeah, I'm a past winner. Sure, this seems like a good idea. Let's do this. Just the nerve of him to feel entitled to that is, it's not surprising given what we know this guy's capable of.
And yesterday, Rick Westhead had an interview with John Doe 2's mother. She made a comment, she thinks it's time for Gary Bettman to go. Rick's been reporting that the NHL is not going to do anything. They're going to leave it up to Chicago. And I understand that from one sense of legalities that, and you talked about this earlier, that, maybe the NHL didn't find Chicago as much because they said, figure this out. What if that doesn't happen? Right. And they keep fighting this. The NHL looks even worse that they came down so lenient of a fine on Chicago.
Yeah, no, I agree. The fine, the optics of the fine are not good. When you talk about when you compare it to what they find other organizations for other things, it's a terrible look. It's a terrible optic. And the NHL is guilty of multiple terrible optics through this process, from Bettman and Daly sitting there in, with no suit coats on, sitting in front of a computer, instead of with their suits on, taking it seriously in front of a podium like they should have been. Every interview I've ever had with Gary Bettman where it's something he would view as important, he was standing there in a suit. So that optic was terrible. Obviously, what we're hearing now is not great. And if the Blackhawks don't meaningfully settle these and they continue to fight and make life difficult for those who were affected, the optics of it are terrible and continue to be. But listen, as far as taking care of counseling bills for John Doe 2's, for himself and his family, there's a legal issue there. I mean, I think we can understand, at least I can, that, okay, if you admit that you are in some way morally responsible for what happened, and you admit that by picking up the counseling costs for somebody, it's not too far a leap for a lawyer to say, well, why wouldn't you be responsible for the damages as a result of that as well? And now the National Hockey League has admitted a level of culpability and on the hook legally, potentially, for settlements and such. So I think it was a lawyered decision, start to finish, and I think that's why they've gotten the response that they have. And I think, if the NHL is saying, well, the Chicago Blackhawks are going to pay dearly for everything that happened here, and counseling costs and such will all be part of the settlement that Chicago has to pay as a result of this, because they're the ones more directly responsible for this. I can understand their thought process on that, even if the optic, once again, is horrible, like they're turning their back in some way.
Ryan Schaub from TSN joins us. Now let's move to the Oilers. They take on the Detroit Red Wings tonight. Do you think Skinner starting tonight is a sign that Mike Smith will be ready later in the week?
100%. Yeah. Because if Mike Smith's not ready, someone's got to play two of the next three, and it ain't going to be Koskinen going back-to-back. So you see that Mike Smith's ready. You've had Skinner this whole way. If you like what you've seen and you feel like you got a good chance to win with him, then you throw him into a game, and you see what you got. You give him a great opportunity, Koskinen and Smith split the next two. If that's not the case, and either Koskinen goes back-to-back or Skinner plays two of the next three, then something's gone wrong.
Yeah. Ryan McLeod, Colton Sevier. Sevier hasn't played in a while. He gets in for Turris.
Yep.
And Cassian is up with Nugent Hopkins and Hyman. Yamamoto will start with Ryan and Fogle. Who knows how long it lasts. Bouchard starts again with Darnell Nurse, which I think is fine. I think it's going to be one where, him and Barry, depending on how they're going in a game, we could see them switching up a little bit and maybe just going with five defensemen like they did for lots of last game.
Yep.
Anyway, but what are you making of Cassian and Yamamoto swap?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it makes some sense. As much as that third line was good for some energy now and then, I think the numbers showed that they were getting leaky, and you got to address that. So, Yamamoto, I think, is a more responsible overall player two ways, and maybe helps a line that is looked to for that. helps align in that way a little bit. Cassie and Ashoni can play with skilled players. So I'm fine with it. I think it makes sense. I think it's a coach who is in a stage where he's not loving the way he's winning games. And I think if you're not loving the way you win games, then go ahead and make some changes to get ahead of it. Why wait till you lose? If you get an inkling that something needs to be tweaked, win or lost, tweak it. That's what teams that win more games than they lose, that's what coaches inevitably have to do. So I'm good with it. And then an opportunity tonight for Ryan McLeod to make a statement and say message received. He had a spot to lose this year. He lost it. Spent some time in the American League. Was probably pretty disappointed. Looks like he put up a few points there, which is good. Let's see if he plays the game like he received the message from the team. I'll be interested in that tonight.
Yeah, I'm curious too. I'm very curious to watch Mo Sider, man, the young Detroit defenseman. The guy's playing almost 23 minutes a night, Shogger, yep. And he's playing all the tough minutes. He's getting way more D-zone starts than O-zone starts, which is rare for a rookie defender. Like I know a lot of people were like, "What?" when the Detroit Red Wings drafted him, but don't sleep on the Red Wings European drafting. For years, it's been great, and clearly it looks like they hit a home run, not only with him, but also with Lucas Raymond.
Yeah.
Right? Like they're getting much. You compare their two picks compared to who the Rangers took, and right now it's no contest. The Detroit Red Wings, who were fourth and sixth, and the Rangers were one and two, they're blowing them out of the water early on.
Yeah, no, for sure. I agree with you on Sider. It would be really interesting to see a young guy. And I mean, now you're staring down the barrel of McDavid and Draisaitl, so that'll be interesting. Raymond is an exciting young player. Really is panning out nicely for them. Bertuzzi's a powerful player that can give defensemen problems. So, yeah, I agree with you. Don't sleep on them. They've got some weapons. They're rebuilding while at the same time playing some good, honest hockey right now. And, this could be a sneaky game for the Oilers. This is a team that can sneak attack a little bit if people take them lightly. They've won a few after dropping a few, and they've been really competitive this year. So it should be fun tonight.
Shogger, great article. Great article on the research on it. Terrible topic, unfortunately. Brad Aldrich, and I think a lot of people need to keep on this and other stories around not only just sports but in our community in general. And we'll all be better off for it. Appreciate your time.
Yeah, I agree. Thanks, pal. Take care easy. Have a good night.